We're good? Okay, good. Will you join me in prayer for the message? Gracious God, open our hearts and our minds to receive your message this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I have always been curious about what happened between the time the shepherds and the wise men leave to when we meet adult Jesus. What was it like to see little Jesus grow up? And we don't get to hear a lot about what Jesus was like as a child, or how Mary and Joseph settled into parenting the Messiah. There are some non-canonical books that were rejected from being included in the Bible that kind of offer some stories of Jesus' younger, wilder days, but those books are often understood to be unreliable sources. But Luke's gospel does give us a glimpse into what young Jesus was like. And while we are still singing about our joy coming to the world, celebrating our Savior being born, our lectionary text today takes us out of the stable, away from the manger, and introduces us to preteen Jesus. This term may sound frightening to some people. I mean, take a minute, imagine yourself at 12 years old. Or if you have a 12-year-old, imagine that 12-year-old. Would you want that shared in a book for others to read? I have a diary from that time of my life, and I'm pretty certain that it would be better if that was just burned and nobody had to read it. But Luke gives us this little glimpse into what young Jesus was like. And this is the only reference we have in the Gospels of what young Jesus was like between his birth and adult ministry. And we find that even at this young age, Jesus was starting to discover who he was as he settled in at his father's house for a visit. And 12 years old is such a neat stage of life. As a youth minister, I have to say that I really do enjoy working with students at that age. Because everyone is weird and awkward at 12 years old. Once again, imagine yourself or your 12-year-old child. Am I right? Is it just me? I'm still awkward at my age, which I'm still not going to say. At this age, students are starting to figure out life and the world. They are applying the life lessons their family has taught them, or they're starting to ignore those life lessons. They're navigating the complicated relationships with their friends and family. They are starting to think and learn in complex and abstract ways. They start taking the lessons that they've learned in children's church and applying them to their life and questioning and learning what it all means for them. And ultimately, they are starting to discover who they are and who they belong to, especially within peer groups. Their identity is being shaped by their experiences and the people surrounding them. And from my perspective, this is exciting to witness. Now, the moodiness, the smells, the angst, and all the other things that come along with the age of adolescence are not as exciting. But to see a student have a light bulb click about who they are and whose they are is a joy to witness, especially as they find their identity as a follower of Christ. And we see that with this young Jesus. In this moment in the temple, we find that Jesus, in his preteen phase, is searching for and finding his identity. No longer did we get to hold and coddle the baby Jesus, but we get to see him start to grow into who he is meant to be. And in this brief passage, we find the things that helped Jesus grow in his wisdom and grow in his divine and human favor. These things will help us in our wisdom and faith as well. And the first thing that started to help Jesus grow in his wisdom was being surrounded by a community of people. Jesus and his family traveled with a caravan to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. This was Jewish tradition to travel for these festivals, and they would travel in large numbers so that they can kind of keep an eye on each other and protect each other from thieves. So as they traveled, there were probably several eyes watching the younger ones to make sure they weren't in any trouble. Jesus was probably among family and friends as they walked. And we know that there are at least a few in the crowd that Mary and Joseph would have trusted to keep an eye out for him, which in the long run didn't necessarily help because no one realized that he was missing for at least a day. But even so, Jesus was a part of a community of people that valued worship to the point of traveling for days to uphold their Jewish traditions and to worship God. And along with that nurturing community, Jesus found a place among elders and teachers in the temple. These people would educate and would encourage his questions and learning. We're told that Jesus was found listening to the teachers and asking them questions. Also, from a youth minister's perspective, it's really amazing as students start to make scripture and traditionals personal for their faith and their learning. And those who were with Jesus were astonished that this young person was able to understand what they were discussing. We're not told that Jesus was thrown out or dismissed because of his silly questions. His learning was encouraged and even found to be pretty impressive. So having a community of believers who would create an environment of worship and celebration, as well as having a place to learn about the scripture and laws, were vital to Jesus's learning and wisdom. These are elements that are still vital to our own growth and the growth of our children's faith as well. We need to seek communities and people that place worship as a priority. We need those places where we can go and seek learning and also where we can ask questions. Once again, the neat thing about working with young people are the questions that they start asking about their faith. Anywhere from who is Jesus' uncle to why do bad things happen. They need a safe place where they can go and ask these things, and more importantly, a place where they can be heard. They need people within and outside of their families where they can share, learn, and express these ideas about their faith. One of the things our children's and youth ministries at Grace try to do is provide this place of learning for our younger ones. We may not have the answers, but we certainly enjoy the questions, especially the ones that stump us, like the one about Jesus' uncle. Did we ever find anything out? Okay, just checking. It is important for our faith development, really at any age, to engage these communities of worship and learning. It's also important to step up to be mentors for people of all stages of their faith development so they can help others grow in their faith and wisdom. The second thing Jesus knew as he was growing in his wisdom and shaping his identity was the importance of his relationship with God. Now, I really would have loved to have been a fly on a wall to witness Jesus growing up. How did Mary and Joseph discuss and tell him the story of the angel's messages and being born in a stable? As he learned scripture, what did they say when they would read the prophecies? Would he start making that kind of connection? Or because of his divine nature, being God incarnate, did he already know? Or was this moment in the temple at 12 years old the beginning of Jesus understanding his identity? These are all big questions that scripture sort of leaves open. The complicated nature of Jesus being both human and divine raises a lot of theological discussion and debates about his unique relationship with God, as well as being God among us. But what we do know is that Jesus recognizes that he is in his Father's house. Jesus recognizes the relationship of God being his Father, and spending time in his Father's house took priority at this time of his life. It was important enough for him to stay back in the temple while everyone else left. He felt that this was where he needed to be so that he could continue to learn and grow and worship and do the work of his Father. And as we continue to grow in our faith and wisdom, we need to know what sort of priority and role God has in our lives. Are we willing to spend time to make God a priority in our lives? Are we willing to wrestle with the questions and scriptures to understand how we relate to God? I would argue that it is important for us to find the time and dive into word and teaching so that we can understand this relationship. If we wish to grow in our faith, we need to learn about the love of the Father. So having a community of people, a place to learn, understanding what this relationship with God the Father looks like, and knowing what to do with this mission, with this information, shape the identity of Jesus. And these things also shape our identity as we look to Jesus to be our role model. If we seek to grow in our understanding, we need to be among a community of believers, learning together, discovering our relationship with God, and learning these things so that we can go forth in our ministry and mission. Now, just as stories from Jesus' childhood are scarce, we also don't have stories of what parenting would look like for Mary and Joseph. There is a great cartoon online of Mary trying to give baby Jesus a bath, but he keeps walking on top of the water rather than bathing. This is not a scholarly interpretation. I just think it's funny every time it pops up on Facebook. But I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to parent the Savior? Every parent believes that their child is special. And if it's the first child, there's a certain level of anxiousness that comes along with making sure you're doing things perfectly. Add the fact that this child would grow to be the one who will free the oppressed and offer salvation to everyone. No pressure at all for these parents. And then Mary and Joseph face every parent's nightmare. They pull a scene from Home Alone and travel a good ways before they realize that their child wasn't in the caravan. They lost the Savior. Then after searching everywhere, having been separated for at least 3 days, they find him in the temple. And preteen Jesus was like, and this is my own personal translation, duh, where else would I be? Here, we have Luke showing us the humanity of Jesus and talking back to his parents like any other human preteen child. And also, I think Luke's interpretation of what Mary says is being very kind to Mary. Typically, when I read anything that Mary says in Scripture, it's usually in my head a very soft and kind tone. Not in this passage, though. Once again, my translation. Child, do you know what you have put us through? I'm fairly certain that my own mother may have uttered those words to me when I was 12 years old. But even though there's this quick exchange between Mary and Jesus, we find that Mary still treasures this moment and reflects on what will come to be. Mary was told from the beginning that this child that she delivered would be great and would be called Son of the Most High. When they presented the baby at the temple, Simeon praised God for he was able to meet the Lord, and he told Mary, this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary knew that this child would be extraordinary, but perhaps seeing Jesus in the temple may have caused her to see something else in her son's identity coming to fruition. As Jesus is starting to understand his complex identity, I think in this moment, Mary sees it as well. Like any parent, she may worry about her child, the pressures he will face, the dangers of the world that will surround him. And if you think about it, the same people who are encouraging him in the temple will be condemning him when he gets older. But seeing her son, she may start to consider all that Gabriel, Simeon, and Anna have said about her child. She has treasured these words, and she gets to find joy and watching Jesus discover what his identity is as the Son of God. And ultimately, Mary will have to let her child grow and accept the pain as she watches others refuse to accept his identity. So as I invite by grace to come up, I remind you that we are still in the Christmas season. And believe me, I'm all about letting the season linger far into the new year. It will probably be February before I take my tree down. But we can still celebrate with joy that God has come among us through the humble arrival of an infant, through the awkward preteen years, and as an adult to teach, heal, and ultimately save us with his life. This continues to be something worth celebrating and worth anticipating as we continue to wait for Christ's return. So let us be prepared. As we look ahead at the new year, what can we do to strengthen and grow in our own identity as followers of Christ? What can we do to make sure our young ones are also learning about their relationships with God? Let us be that community that invites the young people to ask their questions and learn the lessons they would need to know as they prepare to find their identity in Christ. Let us be those mentors they will need as we listen with astonishment of what they have learned. If you've noticed, we're always in search of people who are willing to volunteer and support our ministries with our young students. We need to continue to foster their learning so that they can speak with boldness about the special child who was born in this season and what his life means for them. And let us continue to grow in our own understanding of wisdom, of what it means to know and love God our Father, and understand how God loves us, so that we may share this with others who need to know who Jesus is, Son of God and Son of Man. Will you join me for prayer? Gracious God, we continue to give you thanks for the joy your Son brings to us. Strengthen us as a community of believers so that we may continue to encourage learning and growth of those who enter our doors. Remind us of your everlasting love and the opportunity you offer for us to have this relationship with you through your Son. We give you thanks for all that you have done and continue to do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.